Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. I'm so happy you're here. Sorry I was a minute late there. It's been one of those days. But I'm so happy to be with all of you today. We are moving into a new module today, visioning and strategizing. And we'll have three visioning and strategizing calls. Two will be live. Today's call and then our next call, which is in 2 weeks, we'll be looking at the foundations of visioning today and then in 2 weeks, the energetics of new things, which is a very, very important topic for us to look at to get these visions off the ground, as well as we're going to start looking at strategizing. And then the third call, which you'll receive via recording, is map modeling on visioning and strategizing, and also a protocol that you can use for a first call with a client, kind of all wrapped into one. So it's a big module. There's a lot for us to cover. Before we jump in, I want to just share with all of you, I think you already received an email, but in case you didn't, I am going to add a bonus 2-hour call on February 17th, so mark your calendars. This call is specifically for newer practitioners that are in this training, but of course, even if you're a seasoned practitioner and you want the material and you want the information, you'll still get a lot out of it. But what we're going to basically do in this bonus session is, I think it may change between now and then, but essentially what I want to do is really use it as an opportunity for you to feel more confident as you start to use your basic skills, the basic skills that we've already looked at, listening, creating awareness, and questioning, and just how to run a coaching session in general. And so we'll spend, I think, a little bit of time, and this would be appropriate for anyone, no matter what level you're at or where you're at, is just for some exploration around fears when it comes to coaching, because I think that it's important for us to do a little bit befriend your fear around all of that. My hope is to hear from some of you that have been a little bit shy on our calls because you haven't, you are newer and you're not sure of yourself in your shares. So just for it to be a safe space for that, we're going to have some time. I'm going to do some coaching. I'm going to go through like a typical session, probably in a laser way, but I will do coaching and then we'll break down the coaching that I did so that you can understand and see some more of the principles at play. And if we have time, which I suspect we will, we'll also get some coaching practice in. Probably I'll ask a brave volunteer to do a little bit of coaching for 15 minutes or so, and then we'll break down the coaching that one of you did. Whenever I do practicums like this, when I model coach or when other people in the program do coaching and then we break it down, there's so much learning that comes from all of it. So mark your calendars. I'm really excited for that call. It'll be an opportunity also just to ask any open questions that you might have. Okay. All right. So from there, let us dive in to visioning. And the official name of this call is Co-Creating Magnificent Visions That Stick and Flourish. That stick and flourish part is really important. We're going to get to that. So what does visioning even mean? What are visions? What does it mean? And why is this so important in the work that we do with our clients and in the sacred depths work? So I want to read you a quote from Keith Ellis from a book called The Magic Lamp, which is a quick read, a really nice little book. I recommend it. Here's what Keith Ellis says. When people don't get what they want from life, usually it's because they don't know what they want. I'm going to say that again. When people don't get what they want from life, usually it's because they don't know what they want. I believe that a big part of our work is to help our clients get clear on what they really want. And this is, at its heart, what visioning really is, helping our clients really get clear in aligned ways on what they desire in the future, on what they want moving forward. A vision can either be the biggest picture for the future, literally like a vision of what your client wants for herself and her life. So, for example, if you are working with clients on their health and well-being, the biggest picture vision is the ultimate vision of what the client wants for her health and her well-being. If you are a money coach or working with clients on their money and money mindset, it's the ultimate vision of what your client wants when it comes to how she experiences, sees, has, makes money. If you're working with relationships, it's the ultimate vision of what your client desires for her relationships and how she experiences her relationships. This big vision that I'm talking about here is almost like a detailed profile that becomes a guiding light for your client to aspire to. A place for your client to check that they're staying aligned to. A place where they can track if they're making decisions towards. Visioning sets the stage for creating compelling personal, organizational, or social change. I'm going to say that again. When we support our clients to create visions that are aligned, we are essentially helping them set the stage for compelling change, either on the personal level, the organizational level, or the social level. Visioning helps our clients open up to future possibilities that are in full alignment with their core values. More on that a little bit later. But hopefully that sounds exciting to you, because I think it's really exciting. Now, some people would say, not everyone, but some people would say that one of the things that sets coaching apart from therapy is its focus on the future. Is this one of the reasons why people hire us, even just take like coaching out of it, just as Sacred Depth practitioners, is because there is something more or different that they want in the future, that they want their future selves to have or feel. And it all starts with vision. Now, we can use visioning in these big picture ways, and in a little bit we're going to get into all of the nitty-gritties on how to do it, but I just want to make sure I'm laying out for you all the different kind of definitions of vision here. So it can be this biggest picture that I'm talking about, but you can also use your visioning skills for, lack of a better word, for subvisions of the bigger vision. So in other words, a goal, or maybe it's a particular project, whatever it is, that is going to help your client get to that bigger vision. Well, that subvision, that goal, whatever that particular project is, and project can be loosely defined here, that needs to be visioned as well. Envisioned in an aligned way. So we're going to be looking at all of that today. Back to Keith Ellis's quote, when people don't get what they want from life, usually it's because they don't know what they want. You can think of it this way, and for those of you that have been through Curriculum Lab with me, you know that I use this analogy. I think it's a really helpful one. It's one that's helpful for curriculum, and it's one that's helpful for visioning, and this idea of visioning. So when you don't have a vision, you go aimlessly from goal to goal without real direction. And you can think of this idea of a cross country trip, right? So let's say you're in the United States and you live or you're starting on the East Coast in New York City. Well, if you just say, like, I'm going to take a cross country trip, but you don't define exactly where you're going, you could end up in Portland, you could end up in San Francisco. I don't know my geography very well. What else is on the West Coast, right? But or you could end up in LA, or you could end up in Cincinnati, right? It's like you don't really know. How can you plan out your route to get from New York to where you're going to go if you don't know where you're going to go, right? Now, sometimes we only know halfway, and that's fine, too. We're going to talk about that today. But we want to be able, if the moment is right, there are also moments that aren't right. We'll talk about that as well. But if the moment is right, we want to support our clients to get as clear as possible on what the vision is, on where they want to go, on where they're headed, on what they're creating, on what they're going for, because that is most of the time going to be the most successful and efficient way to help them get what they want, achieve what they want, create what they want. When you get the vision right, it's like you're building a strong foundation, not only in your coaching container, but with your clients. Vision, this bigger picture vision, is one of the first things that I always like to take a look at when I start working with a client so that we know where we're working towards in our work together. When you get the foundation wrong, or you simply just don't even build the foundation, the house isn't very strong. You might be able to have some forward movement, but it's not long-lasting. So not only do you want to build a foundation, i.e. create the vision at the outset, or as much as you can see of it at the outset, but you also want it to be an aligned one. Now, a problem or where a lot of practitioners kind of go off course and, you know, from the get-go, if they're doing the visioning in the get-go. And what I want you to be aware of is that you don't want to co-create visions with your clients that are misaligned, that aren't realistic, that aren't truly desired, or that your client doesn't believe in. And you would be surprised how often this happens when practitioners aren't aware, when they don't know better, and they create this foundation, they co-create just these goals, these visions, these you know, places that they're doing the work with the client to achieve, but it turns out that that's not actually what the client wanted, or that's not actually exactly right for the client, or it didn't really make sense. When that happens, already I know you know what this leads to. It leads to not getting the thing done, getting stuck and stymied along the way. It can lead to lack of motivation, right? Because if you've created a vision or a goal with a client that's either misaligned or not truly desired or not realistic or not believable, but they won't know why. And there's going to be so much resistance. They're not going to be motivated. They're going to be stuck. Or they might get drained from doing the work to get there. Or, and I think sometimes this is the hardest one, if you're working with a get-it-done person, they may indeed achieve the goal, but they're not going to feel happy or satisfied once they get there. Now, of course, I want to mention that visions can change as your clients evolve, and they will evolve as you work with them. And we'll talk about, you know, you want to track to make sure that you're still on the same page about the vision that you're working towards. And also, like I said earlier, a vision might not be fully formed at first, also because it's not ready to be. All of that is good. We're not talking about perfection here. We're not talking about an unmoving, you know, kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like this one thing that you decide that can never change. But you want as much as you can from the get-go to get clear on where you're going and what that aligned place is, what the aligned vision is, what the aligned goals are. A lot of practitioners aren't even aware that a big part of their job is to help their clients get clear on this. And from there, even more coaches or practitioners aren't aware that it's not just as simple as let's create a vision, that they need to really be thinking about this idea of making sure it's aligned, realistic, believable, truly desired. A piece of this, and we've already looked at this, but I want to remind you of it, is because a lot of practitioners aren't aware that their filters may be in the way when helping a client articulate their vision, right? And we've looked at examples of this before. Like if there's a business coach who their filter or their value is to build empires and they haven't checked that filter of that value, they're just going to naturally assume that their client wants to build an empire. Or if there's a practitioner who values whose filters, you know, around getting married, if they haven't checked that, they're just going to naturally assume when they vision with their clients that that's what their client wants. So on and so forth. A lot of practitioners also don't know enough to know that you need to dive deep into some real exploration to get clear on an aligned vision. It's not always just what the surface is going to reveal. And the reason why oftentimes it's necessary to dive deep when you're visioning, and you know, for me, to dive deep into all things. But I'm checking my filter on that as I teach this for you. Like, we don't want to dive deep just to dive deep. Anytime we can go surface and it's just as good, it's probably easier in some ways, right? But for some people, you do need to, because number one, most people actually haven't been taught how to vision for themselves, and therefore they don't actually give themselves permission to vision for real. Or they over-vision unrealistic things, right? So you may need to be working with that. We're going to look at that today. Best kind of coaching container, and you already know how to do this, and we're going to go deeper into this, you know, just because of all this, what we're looking at, the best kind of coaching container creates permission for your client to allow herself to vision for real, while also creating a structured container to actually get things done towards the vision. So as you've heard me say a number of times, in sacred depth, in this philosophy, it's not only the content, right? It's not only the what's the vision and how are we going to get to the vision, but we're also masterfully using the container as a corrective experience for old dynamics and obstacles and limiting beliefs, and in the case of visioning, to support our clients to build their own inner muscle to give themselves permission to vision. It's worth so much. So valuable to give this to a client. So let me just ask you a couple of inner questions around this. So you can see for yourself and also just start to understand a little bit more some of the issues that can come up for clients around this. How are you given or not given permission as a child to vision for yourself? Take a moment and journal on that. How are you given or not given permission as a child to vision for yourself? Take another moment with that. Next question. What did you learn or not learn from your parents about creating and having a vision? What did you learn or not learn from your parents or authority figures about creating and having a vision? Take another half minute with that. What did you learn or not learn from your parents or authority figures about creating and having a vision? Next question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how often do you really allow yourself to fully vision into your future and the things that you desire? On a scale of 1 to 10, and by the way, no shame or judgment here, right? This is just so you can see for yourself, right? How often do you really allow yourself to fully vision and to vision in aligned ways? So not giving yourself permission and also not that over-visioning unrealistic thing that I was talking about before. And how seriously do you take this process for yourself? Scale of 1 to 10. Then wherever you landed on those two 1 to 10 questions, last question for right now is why. So why do or don't you take it seriously? Why do or don't you really allow yourself? We've got a lot to look at today, but I do want to pause here just for a couple of moments to hear what you're seeing and taking so far, star two, either through the questions that you just answered or just from the discussion so far. What are you seeing? My computer is being a little bit slow today. Just give me one second. And I can't see who's raising their hands. That's not. Oh, here we go. Okay. Who is this? 0444 are your last numbers.
Hey, Joanna. It's Susan Booth Dufault.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question, which you tell me if this isn't the appropriate space for it. The difference between goals and visions.
Between what and what?
Goals and visions. Uh-huh.
We're going to get there. We're going to
okay,
move
cool.
into like tactical and how to. Yep, and that's one of
okay.
the first things I'm going to answer. Yep.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Siobhan.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
So the question, what did you learn or not learn from your parents or authority figures about creating and having a vision? I literally wrote nothing because I was taught, I grew up in this really strict Catholic family,
yeah.
and we're here to suffer. You pray, you turn it over, and you try to survive till you die.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm literally, that mm-hmm. was the message.
Mm-hmm.
That's really scary to me.
Well, it's big, right? Because surviving and suffering are really like the opposite of
yes.
co-creating aligned and magnificent vision. It speaks so much, not just to kind of like the code of your family, but also if you have some inabilities to really visioning for yourself.
Yeah.
Why, right? So this is super
yeah.
important awareness for you, and I'm so glad that it came
yeah.
forward, but also I'm glad that you're bringing it forward because this could possibly, right, be going on for a client, too. We
yeah.
want to be aware
yeah.
of all of the different things that could be aware of for our clients when we move into visioning so that we can really support them in all the best ways to co-create
yeah.
those aligned visions. So
yeah.
thank you for
yeah.
bringing that forward.
Yeah, thank you.
Good.
Oh, hey, Joanna.
Hi.
a few things came up. And so scale, how often do I allow myself to vision? I would say I'm around a 4. And then seriously, I kind of like cut it off, probably around a 3. And a lot of it is, it comes from, it, like, something kicks in and like, oh, this is more like fantasy, you know, in terms of, so it's also, I sense a way, look, I'm shrinking to fit into, you know, some prescribed form.
Yeah. We're going to address that for sure.
Okay.
And there's, you know, there's a couple of pieces in what you just shared. And again, such important awareness for you and also for when we work with clients, right? We don't
mm-hmm.
want them, you know, it can stand in someone's way to, if it's going to be prescribed. And also if they think it's fantasy and it's just for fun, you know, that's also not going to lend gravitas to the process.
Right.
So I'm glad that you're bringing all those pieces up. Good.
Yeah. And then there was one other with the, when I was thinking about my patients, you know, if they come in pain, they are, you know, what they usually, they want is just to be out of pain, like to the point before the thing happened.
Yeah.
Right. And sorry, my thing is going up and down. And that is like helping them to get beyond, you know, where they are right now in a place of suffering, to actually look at where maybe they need to go so that it doesn't happen again, versus just the point where they were actually, it was going to be any time something was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, good. I'm glad you're bringing that forward, too. It's so important, right? And sometimes when people are in that position, it may not be the right time to get to the biggest vision. They may not be ready for that.
Right.
But we do want to support them to vision beyond where they are right now, or else it is, like I said earlier, if you don't know where you're going, you can't get there. So, good.
Right.
Yeah, good. Okay. Who is this? 1490.
That's Christine.
Hi.
Hello. So this is really cool. So for me, what I discovered here was that the power behind that visioning is the power behind my resiliency and ability to keep moving towards more healing, more wholeness, more joy, and that the areas where I don't apply a clear, aligned vision are areas where I'm still struggling and where I often feel powerless or victimized, which to me means I need to apply a clear, aligned vision.
Right. Well, right. It's like a cycle of sabotage in a way. You don't feel empowered there, so you hold yourself back from the vision, but the vision is what will allow you to get out of that place.
Yeah.
To where you want to go. So I'm so glad. I love the first part of it, just so beautifully said on what visions support you in, and I love the second piece of awareness. It feels really important for you, and also possible wisdom to apply to particular clients as well.
Good. Thank you.
So, and one last hand here, Susie.
Hi. I think I resonate with what I've been hearing from everyone else. I guess the only other thing that I would add that came to my awareness in thinking about this and journaling is that I don't necessarily allow myself or give myself permission as much as I would like to for the visioning. And I think it's hard for me to kind of walk with a client in helping them vision, because I don't think I really believe their vision, or when they're trying to create a vision or I'm guiding them to help create a vision, I don't think that I'm fully buying it.
I'm so happy that you are bringing this up, right? This is so core. Energy follows energy. You've heard me say that 100 times already, and you're going to hear me say it 100 times more at least. It is very difficult for us to support our clients in co-creating visions if we don't believe, as the practitioner, as the holder of the space, if we don't, and what I think I hear you saying, Susie, and tell me if I'm getting this right, is that when you don't believe in a client's vision, it actually has very little to do with the client and their vision. It's just you're projecting your own issues around visioning onto the situation.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. So that's, I want you to start to track that more and catch yourself there more. And also with part, what we'll be looking at today, it will help you go deeper with some of your own stuff around this.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm really glad that you're bringing that piece in. Okay, good. So as we can see so far, it's, you know, even just what a big and important topic this is, and it can go really deep. So let's keep on going. I'm going to share with you foundational pieces on how to co-create aligned and magnificent visions with clients that stick and flourish. So number one, as I said earlier, I do like to start with that bigger vision up front. When I say bigger vision, I mean like where, you know, where do they want to be at least by the end of our coaching cycle, right? Like our contracted time together. I ask about vision just even to start off, like it even happens a little bit in the sales conversation. I won't get into that right now, but for those of you that haven't yet listened to the sales training, when you're ready for that, you'll see how I do it there. And then I ask about the vision in the welcome packet. And I ask about vision in terms of different periods of time. You know, where would you like to be in the first 2 months of our work together? Where would you like to be by the time we're complete? Where would you like to be even further out than that? And then I will follow up on it in our first call. The first call might be all laying out the vision, that may be what a particular client needs, or the following up may be shorter than that because there are other immediate needs that a client needs right away. Like that happens a lot in the work that I do. You know, they have a presentation the next week, right? We want to get to the I want to coach her, help consult her on the presentation or whatever it is, but I do want to spend at least a good amount of time following up, laying out that bigger vision. So it's not just a 5-minute discussion. And then, of course, even though you want to start with vision, you want to understand, like I said earlier, that visions are subject to change and resetting, and it's really important to track visions and check in on visions. If you, as you're tracking, you see that a vision needs to be tweaked or reset or shifted in any way, it doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong so long as you don't let the misaligned vision go on and on and on if it has changed since you've started. And also so long as there's satisfaction, the client has satisfaction in what has been accomplished. I will say that I personally, and this is not the truth with a capital T, this is just for me, I personally don't like the question of what's your 5-year vision or 10-year, you know, whatever it is. Even like, what do you want your legacy to be? That one stumps me a lot. And that's because I can't see that far ahead. Me personally, like I don't know in 5 years where I want, let's say, my business to be, or, you know, where I want to live or whatever it is, let alone 10 years or legacy lifetime. What I find most helpful for me and for most of my clients is to look, you know, not really beyond a year to 2 years, or else it does become a little, like, unrealistic. Now, somebody with a very strong vision and with a big passion for it and big commitment for it, you can go further out with them, but you don't, you know, I think that there's this idea in the industry that, like, you need to know your big 5-10 year vision, but I don't actually think that's true. And I will say I've been able to create a lot of what I want in my life without having that. Okay. Next piece, Susan, this answers your question. Know the difference between a vision and a goal. Know the difference between a vision and a goal. A vision, at least in how I'm using the terms today, and hopefully this will be helpful for you, a vision is the bigger picture. It is farther off into the future. A year, 1 year, 2 years, or more into the future. Could even be 6 months. A goal is a marker on the journey to the bigger vision. It's something that is within sight. Now, for one client, that goal might be in 6 months or 9 months. Say they're planning a really big conference, right? For another client, that goal might be a month out. So the vision is the bigger picture, and then a goal is a marker on the journey to the bigger vision. So here's some examples. A bigger vision might be hormonal health, right? A client wants full hormonal, like, probably we can't achieve full hormonal health, right? But, like, whatever that means for them, hormonal health, right? A goal that might be a marker on the journey to the bigger vision of hormonal health. Maybe they want to achieve that within a year and a half. Maybe the first goal, for example, is to manage their blood sugar. Maybe that's a goal for the first 60 days. That still should be visioned out, right? Or getting to a point where they're ovulating regularly, first 4 months, whatever it is. Here's another example. Maybe a bigger vision is a client comes to you and they desire to manifest, achieve, create, whatever the language is, an incredible romantic relationship, which is incredible, incredible, right? But and, you know, for some people that could be a month out. Who knows, right? But let's say they want it, you know, it's a little bit further out. It may take some inner work, some outer work, all the things. So the big vision is incredible romantic relationship, but a goal, a marker on the journey to that vision of the incredible romantic relationship is maybe to get an online dating profile up and running. I'll give one more example here. Maybe a bigger vision is a peaceful household with happy kids and parents. A goal, one of the markers on the way to that journey, on the way to that bigger vision, is maybe within the first month setting limits on technology use. I draw that one from my own life. So, most of the time, things can go wrong when you jump to the goal before outlining the vision. That's because, again, back to what I was sharing earlier, the vision is the guiding light. And then the goals are dictated by the guiding light. You know, back to that road trip analogy, if you don't know where you're going, then how can you pick a goal of a first stop on the road trip if you don't know what the ultimate goal is? So, you know, for example, sometimes I'll have a client that comes in and they're like gung-ho, they want to do Facebook ads. Like, this is the thing that they think, right? Now, that might be right for them. I don't, until we have vision, I don't know. Because Facebook ad is a goal. It's a goal that needs to be visioned out if it's one that is going to, you're going to decide to go for. But we need to know first what the bigger business vision is to even know if Facebook ads are needed or necessary or going to be helpful. So know the difference between a bigger vision and a goal. Next foundational principle, know the difference between a desire and a should. Now, if you're in this training, you've already considered this before. I know that this is not news, probably not news to you, that there is a difference between a want and a have to, a desire and a should, right? Too much of the time, and Cho spoke to this a little bit, too much of the time we set our visions and our goals based on what we think we should do, should create, should achieve, versus on what we deeply desire versus on what we deeply want. Now, as practitioners, we need to be so on top of this with our clients because the should muscle is a trickster muscle. It will veil itself. But again, if we create visions that are based on shoulds, they are misaligned. Either the client isn't going to end up achieving it because it's not the right thing, or there's going to be so much struggle, or they will achieve it, but they're not going to feel satisfied when they do. And you're like, ugh, that was a waste of time, or that didn't feel the way I wanted it to, right? And I'm sure you have experienced this before, like the difference between achieving a goal that is a true, true desire versus achieving a goal that was a should. You really want to help your clients discern the difference between the two. So how do you know the difference between a desire and a should? Well, here are some tools that will help you when you're working with clients. First one, one of the most powerful, I think, is asking why. Why do you want this? So you're visioning with a client, and they say they want to build an empire with their business. And they describe this and that and all the things. Awesome. Tell me why. Why do you want this? When you ask this question, it helps your client connect in with their deep why, and they will see pretty quickly if how they answer is an actual deep why. If it is, then this is a desire. Or if they can't come up with a deep why, then it's a should. You can also ask the client on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you really want this? And then whatever they answer, you can say, why? Why did you answer that number? What does that mean? Another way to help determine the difference between a desire and a should is to ask, how excited are you about this? Or what about this really excites you? What about this really ignites you? another type of questioning or line of questioning that you can use to help determine between a desire and a should. And this one I would go down only if, as you are doing your deep listening, you're already starting to pick up on the fact that this may be a should. Someone will lay out what they desire, what they think they desire, lay out the vision, and you might ask, just want to make sure that, you know, we're clear, whose vision is that? Is that yours? Is that your father's? Whose vision is that? Another way to help determine between a desire and a should is, you know, after they've shared the vision, ask them to close their eyes and say, where are you feeling this vision in your body? Where does this live in your body? If they're not able to locate it, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a should, but it could mean, right? And you can go from there. So another way that I think is really helpful to think about this piece is to think of visions, aligned visions, the ones that are, come from desire, as products of the heart and not the mind. I think aligned vision, of course the mind is always a part of it. Our minds are all, you know, we're thinking human beings, it's a great tool. But what I have found is that more shoulds come in when the vision is created more from the thinking place than from the feeling into the heart. And if you disagree, I'd love to hear from you on that too. I'll open up for some questions in a little bit. But if that lands for you, another great way to just develop a vision with a client, an aligned one, one from desire that you know isn't a should, is to move through visualization. Because oftentimes a visualization where they first connect in with their heart. And if we have time a little later on, I'll model a little bit of one of those for you. And then the other piece here that's related to the difference between a desire and a should, and that can help you determine, and also just help your client create the most aligned vision, is to see, make sure that whatever vision is being created is in alignment with your client's core values and priorities. You get misaligned visions, even if they're like the coolest visions in the world, exciting, most exciting visions in the world, but they become misaligned when they are not in alignment with your client's particular core values and priorities. So in other words, you always want to base a vision on a client's core visions and priorities. If we don't define our values, our needs, our priorities, then our lives are misaligned from our heart and what's true for us. And then our lives instead become based on other people's values or societal values. And that's where sleepwalking comes in. That's when we start sleepwalking through our lives. That's where sometimes overwhelm comes in. So this is why we want to get clearer, help our clients get clearer for themselves, and for us to be aware of what our clients' core values are. And sometimes we can know a lot of that right away, right? You can ask that in a welcome packet, or you can ask that on a first call. And then sometimes also that evolves or becomes more apparent over time. But, for example, you want to know if your client values integrity, because that's going to dictate a vision. You want to know if they value charity. That's going to dictate a vision. You want to know if they value money. That's going to dictate a vision. Or kindness. Or freedom. Or is one of your clients' core values around paradigm smashing and new ideas and novelty, right? That's going to dictate a vision. Do they value space, right? So that helps determine the difference between a desire and a should, but also just create so much more alignment. You're going to want to know what all of their core values are, and then also what value is most important to them right now, which one. So let's pause here and do a little bit of inner work on this for a moment. Think about a vision that you're working on right now, or a goal that you've visioned, right? So think about a vision or a goal that you're working on right now. What's one part of that vision or that goal that's based in deep desire? What's one part of it that is truly based on desire, the product of your heart? Next question, think about that same vision or goal. And now ask yourself, identify what's one part of it that's based on a should. What's one part of it that's actually not based in desire or the heart, based on a should? Whatever that is, why is that should entering, rearing its head in this vision or this goal? Why is this should showing up in this vision or this goal? Next question, what's one thing that you're doing in your life right now that's really more based on somebody else's expectations or satisfaction than for yours? And I don't want to make this thing wrong, by the way. It's just good to identify for you. And also, again, I want this awareness for you as you approach your clients, right? What's one thing that you're doing in your life right now that's really more for somebody else's expectations or satisfaction than for yours? And I have, just so we all come clean, I've got those places in my life right now, right? And whatever that place is, why? Why are you doing something that is a should? That is more for somebody else's expectation or satisfaction. Maybe it's not a should. Maybe you value somebody else's, this person's satisfaction. That's part of one of, for me, right? Just good to notice. And two more questions here. Next question. how were shoulds, I'm using that in quote, the word should, how were shoulds instilled in you? How were shoulds instilled in you? Last question for right now. How do you know inside of yourself the difference between a desire and a should? How do you know inside of yourself when you're thinking about doing something or you're visioning, whatever it is, the difference between a desire and a should? It can be helpful not just for you to be aware of, but as you approach this with your clients to help them. Okay. I so want to pause here and hear what's coming up because I know I'm sharing a lot, but I also still have so much more to share today. So I'm going to keep on going and we'll open up for shares and questions at the end. I promise we'll have time for that. All right, next foundational principle for visioning. Give permission for true visioning and for breaking rules. Give permission for true visioning and for breaking rules. So this relates to what I was sharing before, what we started to look at. Most people weren't given permission for true, aligned, big, whatever big means, visioning. And part of visioning is to break old codes, old rules, ways of doing things. That's the desire versus the should piece in part, right? So again, we want our coaching containers to be a space for not only people to vision, but for it to give themselves permission to vision in aligned ways. So here, if you sense that you've got a client that is having trouble giving themselves permission to vision or to go bigger, you could, for example, bring this into the conversation, this question. What would I really want to accomplish in life if I were absolutely, positively certain I would do it? By the way, that's from The Magic Lamp by Keith Ellis. What would I really want to accomplish in life if I were absolutely, positively certain I would do it? And here's another one. This question is also from him. What would I really want from life if I were absolutely, positively certain I would get it? What would I really want from life if I were absolutely, positively certain I would get it? Both, hopefully you can see both of those questions are permission-giving questions. You could also ask a client, what are you scared of when it comes to giving yourself permission? And then go into one of these two other questions that I've asked. Or you could ask a client any of the questions that I asked you earlier around this. How were you given or not given permission as a child to vision for yourself? What did you learn or not learn, right? All of those questions. Always coach the what based on the who. The situation may call for a yes or no question here. Are you willing to give yourself permission? Now, you want to bring this in really only, I wouldn't say only, but definitely if you sense that your client isn't fully giving themselves permission to really vision. So then it asks the question of how do you know if your client is giving themselves permission? What should you be listening for? So if they're not excited about what they're talking about, and you want to check your filter on this next one. If you've checked your filter and it's not your filter, but it's like you sense that they're visioning small. They're talking about things that are so much smaller than what they're ready. You see that they're ready for. There may be a chance that they're not giving themselves permission there. Okay. Next foundational principle. Be thorough when you're co-creating a vision with a client. Be thorough. What that means is take all of the different pieces into consideration so that the vision can be realistic and real. Get into the details. So I'll give an example, like from a business vision, and this is a mistake I see a lot of practitioners make when they vision with their clients. They just look at the numbers, right? Because that's kind of like the most natural, normal place to look. Like, how much do you want to make? What are the programs that are going to get you to make that? How are you, right? But if we're being thorough, and also if we're taking values into considerations and, you know, desires versus shoulds, all the things that we've been talking about, you know, when I'm working with a client and we're looking at the year, 2-year vision for their business, if they have children, I'm looking at how do their children fit into this vision, right? Because there are certain times of life that, you know, depending on what your relationship is with your children and how much they need you and how much you desire to be there for them, that traveling, right, like all the time may not be the right vision for that time, unless, of course, you value your whole family traveling and you take them on the road with you, right? But, we take into consideration time, you know, what kind of personal space and time they want and need for themselves, their health, right? I mean, if someone is in great health, I should put it the other way, like if someone is in a moment in their life where they're having some health issues, that doesn't mean that we make the vision smaller, but the vision has to match what the client is able to do, the business vision, what their interests are, what their desired effort level, stress, like that kind of thing. What kind of impact do they want to make? All right, so we want to look at all the different pieces, all the different details, so that the vision can be aligned, realistic, and real. Next foundational principle, and this is true, this next one is true 95% of the time, maybe not 100% of the time. Or I should say, it's true for the bigger vision 100% of the time, but maybe not for all of the goals, the visioning of the goals. The principle is make it a stretch. Make it a stretch. What does that mean? Generally speaking, the best visions, the bigger visions, are ones that are a little bit out of your client's comfort zone. If it's in the comfort zone, if they're not stretching, they're not taking their future self into consideration. And that's another piece here. Like, we always want, when we're co-creating a vision, for it to be suited to your client's future self, to who they're becoming, to what they're mastering, to where they're evolving. So you know, all of me saying this is making an assumption, and I want to call it out. I feel comfortable making this assumption most of the time, but it's important to call it out, which is that human beings desire growth. And if a human being is going to hire you, it's because they desire growth, right? So none of this make it a stretch should include the future self. Like, it is all contingent on this assumption, but I think it's a valid assumption, right? We if you are alive, you desire growth. Part of growth is stretching. So there are some practitioners out there that take this to an extreme. I call them the hell yeah coaches, that they're like, you can make $1 million overnight, or if you've got a lot of health issues, you know, you can be fully full well-being, you know, in the next month or whatever it is, right? Get out of debt in 2 days. I, as you guys know, I don't, that's not what Six Steps is based on. My philosophy on stretching is that we want our stretches to be doable and yet still be a stretch. We want them to be doable and yet still a stretch. So one tool that I find really helpful here, and also because, you know, aside from like the hell yeah stuff, there's some things that a client it's going to be too much for them in that moment, right? And too much to even think on. Now, we want to stretch our clients. We want to work with their fears. We want to befriend their fears. We want, like, all the things. But there are some legitimate times where it's, like, right, like, vision is too stretchy. So I'm sure a lot of you, or if you haven't, I recommend her very much, have heard of Cheryl Richardson. She's a coach. She's written a lot of books. And she writes about this one exercise that I read when I was a baby coach, and even just like a baby starting to understand myself. And it was, it really made an impression on me, and I want to share it here with you. It's called Stretch, Risk, or Die. And the basic idea behind it, which I really love, is that when we are co-creating visions and goals with clients, we want those visions and goals to be in the zone of a stretch or a risk, but not an I'd rather die than do that. Every now and again, when a client says, I'd rather die than do that, I call BS on that, and they actually go there, right? But if it truly, truly internally is that fear, right? So in other words, I'll give an illustration of this that will help. So let's say you're working with a client. They really want to be in a relationship. They want in a romantic relationship. You're working on visioning a goal to get there together. Maybe for this particular client, it's kind of stretchy to let's say it's kind of stretchy to go on a blind date. Like, it feels uncomfortable, but they would be open to being set up on a blind date. Maybe that's a stretch, right? Now, a risk, I think, is still in the good zone, right? Like, a risk for this person is more than a stretch. Like, it's more than, oh, we're just stretching. It's like, this feels risky to me. Like, I, right? Might be to put up an online dating profile. But maybe for this particular client, like, I would rather die than walk up to that cute stranger that I always see every Monday in the coffee shop and strike up a conversation, right? Now, you may build up to that place with the client, but if it truly is like, I would rather die, like, that makes me feel like throwing up, and not in a good way, like throwing up in a good way, then you want to kind of, you know, move the client in that direction. But if it really is like that die, then no, that's too much. Now that's too much of a stretch. So when I create my own visions and my own goals, when I'm on top of this, I ask myself, you know, am I stretching myself here or not? And if I see that it's not a stretch, personally, I know for myself there's a fear that I need to work with so that I can get to the stretch. Unless, and this is important, unless I'm in a period where I need rest. In which case, visioning the real stretchiness for me is going to be the inner stuff of, like, allowing myself to rest. It's oftentimes a stretch for me, slowing down, right, that kind of thing. So let's look at a couple of inner pieces here. So when we think about no stretch, stretch, risk, or die, where do you generally fall with your goals and your vision? What zone are you usually in and why? Next question. Where is one place in your life or your work that you could stretch or risk just a little bit more? So not I'd rather die, right? But like, where's one place that you could just stretch or risk just a little bit more? Make a note for yourself. By the way, just by answering that question, we just did a little bit of visioning, right? Next question. What do you know for yourself personally can help you endure stretches and risks better? What can help you stretch more, risk more? Maybe it's a belief or a practice. And you can just layer on to that question, what can help your clients endure stretches better? Those healthy stretches and risks. All right, let's keep on going. So some more pieces here. So next foundational piece for aligned visions, co-creating aligned visions with clients, and this is something that Susie spoke to earlier, believe in it. You as the practitioner, and then also support your client to believe in the vision. Because it can create the most incredible vision in the world. But if the client doesn't believe in it, there's going to be a lot of struggle there as you work towards it. So for you as the practitioner, again, energy follows energy. You know, if you have trouble believing in the visions that your clients are creating, there's a couple of places to look for yourself. So one, back to your own visioning history, visioning beliefs, visioning habits, and if you're projecting any of that onto the client. If you look at all of that and it doesn't seem like that's what's going on, then the next question you want to ask yourself as a practitioner is, like, are there, what's the right word I want to use here? Real isn't the right word here, but I think you'll know what I mean. Legitimate. Are there legitimate places that I feel my client is setting themselves up for failure with this vision? Are there legitimate places? And identify those. Now, I think most of the time stuff is going to fall into category A, like your inner work, right? But go to category B around legitimate places, if not. And that's really useful because then you can explore that with your client. You may not want to say, I don't believe you're going to be able to blah, 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 right? But it might be like, you know, this is what I sense is required for you to achieve blah, blah, blah. How can we get that? Or what are you willing, right? Like whatever it is. Okay, so you need to believe in it, but also we want to support our clients to believe in the visions that they create. So how do we do that? And first of all, back to all of the celebrating skills that we've already learned. You know, asking questions like, what are the inner resources that you have that will help you achieve this, right? If they can identify the resources they already have, it's going to help them believe more that they can achieve it. What are the outer resources that you have that can help you achieve this? What have you already created that gives you evidence that you can do this? Who will you need to be in order to create this? Are you willing to be that person? How do you know you can step into that person, right? And some of these may be bigger discussions, and that's okay, all in service of supporting your client to believe in their visions and to really feel like, yes, this is doable. I can make this happen. There may be some gaps between where I am now and the vision, but we'll get those in place, right? Not only do we, for a vision to flourish and stick, do we need to believe in it, but we also want to support our clients to be excited about it. Excitement is an important ingredient in helping a vision flourish and actually stick. And we want to support our clients to build mental excitement, emotional excitement, spiritual excitement, physical excitement. And I'm sure you know this for yourself, right? I mean, we may achieve visions that we're not excited about, but what's, like, no fun, it takes longer, that, right? Want excitement there. So some questions you can ask to support this are, what will be possible for you when you achieve this vision, right? That creates excitement when they can see the impact, the ripple effect of achieving it, of doing the work to get there. How will you feel when you achieve this vision? Where in your body do you feel excited about this vision, right? And you can even lead them through a visualization to build on that excitement. Okay, next foundational piece. I'm going to cover just a couple more, and then I'll open up for questions. I mentioned this earlier, but I just want to mention it again, and we'll do a full module on this, but know what season your client is in. So as we looked at, I think on our very first call or second call, we looked at this, you know, if a client is in spring or summer, they're in a good place to vision. If a client comes in and they're in autumn or winter, they may need space first before a big vision. It may not be the right time yet. Sometimes coaches push clients into visioning. We don't want to do that, right? We want to make sure that our clients are in the right season for that. Remember also, as I said earlier, visioning doesn't always come all at once. But what can really help a vision drop in more fully is to slow down the exploration, to give it space, encourage your client to go on a walk, change their venue, their, you know, the space that they're in when you're talking about it, to play with it, right? All of that. Be willing to reflect the truth when you're working with a client on visioning. Back to all of our reflecting the truth skills. If a vision feels too small, obviously check your filter and make sure with the client if it resonates, but be willing to reflect that it feels too small. Be willing to reflect if it if a vision sounds like it's based on fear or expectations. Be willing to reflect if a vision doesn't seem attainable or aligned, right? Always watch your filters, always watch your agenda, but be willing to reflect the truth. Okay, I think I'm going to pause here. We've got just a couple minutes left. I'm going to give you your homework, and this is going to be continued. We have a full module for this. But first, take a moment and write down your takeaways. You don't have time to write down all your takeaways, but what's like a big takeaway from the call today? And to have one personal takeaway and then one practitioner takeaway. So what's a personal takeaway? What's a practitioner takeaway? Please post them in the Facebook group and also share in a moment. In a moment, I'll open up for shares and questions. I'm sure there are questions, but I want to give you your homework. If you're working with a coaching partner, I want you to take, this is going to be a two-session homework assignment. So usually in a session, you both do coaching. For this module, I want one of you to coach for a session, and then the next session, the second partner will go. And I want you to spend a good 30 or 40 minutes supporting your partner to build out a bigger vision or vision a goal. So it can be the bigger vision or the goal, but use all the tools that we looked at today to have a visioning session. And then afterwards, you know, take the 20 minutes to break down what you did, to look at how you visioned, to look at what worked, to look at what didn't work, all of the pieces and the foundational pieces that we looked at today. You know, how did you help determine shoulds versus desires, visions versus goals, build excitement, all the different pieces. Okay. So we've got a couple more minutes. I would love to hear takeaways or any questions that you have from our call today. What do you need before we wrap? What wants to be shared or expressed before we wrap? Star two. Anyone got something before we go? It looks like we're exactly at 2:30. I didn't realize we were that late. No? Okay, then I will trust that we are complete for today. I'd love to hear your takeaways in the group. Let me know. Oh, Lissa has a question. I'm going to take it. Hey, Lissa.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, the two visions that I have are to be a coach and to be self-sufficient monetarily. And I was just wondering, are those like too vague, or those have been the stakes that I have pinned down that have carried me this far?
I love it. And what I want you to do, what I want your partner to support you with in your practice session is to take both of those visions, go together, and help build those out, like we spoke about today. Like, what does this really mean for you to be a coach? What kind of coach do you want to be? How do you want to be serving? What do you want your business to look like so that you can, I think you said monetarily self-sufficient, however you phrased it, like to get into the nitty-gritty. You're not going to know all of it. Some of it will be in the mystery. That's okay. But use that space, just that yummy space from your heart to vision and dream more into what those two things even mean for you and what some of the details are. That make sense?
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Glad you asked that. All right. Thank you, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Let me know your takeaways. If questions come up, let me know. I will talk to you soon. Bye.